Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now on Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet. We've been in the middle of a discussion about various forms of Chazakah operating as a Kenyan, not as a Raya, and what actions would be considered sufficient for that. Amar Nachman Rabba Bar Vua, Ponet Paltrin Gedolim B'Nichsei HaGer. So again, we go back to the property of a ger who died without heirs, and it is first come, first serve, basically. First claimant gets it. If somebody builds up a building, a huge building, in the property of a ger, and another fellow came along, just put up the doors, cut out, the second guy gets it, my time, huh? Kama livni be'alma hudapich. The first guy was just turning bricks over, piling bricks up. That doesn't make a kinyan. In other words, we now see that na'al gadar paratz in our Mishnah is not an example, but really defines what the chazakah is, and that is it has to be something that either allows for or prevents entrance and egress. Rav Diva bar Yosef from Rav Elazar, so we have a parallel statement in Tveria. Hamotzeit paltrin b'nichsei hager. If you find a large house in Nichsei Ager, Vasad Mehen Siyud Echad or Kiyur Echad, you come in, you plaster a little bit, Kna'an. That's enough for Kinyan. Kama V'chama, Rav Yosef Amar, it has to be a square Amar of work. Rav Chista Chanagara Petach, it has to be right there facing the doorway. We will see a parallel to this of Siyud Amar Chanagara Petach at the end of our parak in a very different context, but here it really has to be a marker that you've taken possession. Alright, so we see that we're expanding it beyond just setting up doors, because if there are no doors to set up, the building's already up, there's another way to do it. Amar of Amram, here's an interesting story. Hi Milta Amarlan Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet taught us this halacha, Vanhirun Ainin Matnita. And he then, literally, gave us eyes, which is probably a deliberate play on the fact that Rav Sheshet was blind. He enlightened us from a Braita. In other words, he gave a ruling, and then he showed support from it from Braita. The halacha was, Hamatziya matza'ot b'nichsei ager kana. If you lay down mattresses or beds in the property of a ger, that's a kinyan. In other words, that's considered a chazaka. Where'd that come from? Here, ani matnita from the braita. Mahi, it's a braita that belongs properly to the first parak of Kiddushin in the context of kinyan eved kanani. Mahi, detanya keitzar b'chazaka, this is building off of the Mishnah, the third Mishnah in the first parak of Kiddushin, which talks about eved kanani being nikne b'chazaka. How do you do the chazaka? Now, alo min alo, tir lo min alo, if the eved straps on your shoe or unstraps your shoe of the master, or shalich kal avachad ben beit hamerchatz, or carries his clothes to the bathhouse, v'shito, or he undresses him, v'hirchitzo, he bathes him, sacho, he anoints him, gardo, he scrapes him off, he'll be show, he puts clothes on him, v'ni lo, puts shoes on him, v'igbiho, or lifts him up, that's the key, kna'o. Now, Amr Shimon lo teh chazaka gdola me'agba, shakba kona mechol nakom. Amr Shimon says something which seems a little bit incongruous, and that is chazaka should be no more powerful than hagba, because hagba, after all, works in every context. My kamar, so the Gemara says, what does this mean? What is this conversation about? Hachi kamar, the Tanakhama said as follows, higbiho lirabo kna'o. If the Eved picks up the master, then that's part of serving the master, dressing him, taking his clothes, bathing him, lifting him up. That's a kinyan. Higbiho rabo lo, but if the master picks up the Eved, lo kna'o. That's not a kinyan, because that's not the Eved serving the master. And Rishimon lo te chazaka gdolam agbar. And Rishimon turns around and says, why not? After all, agbar is more powerful than a chazak, is more ubiquitous, and therefore it should certainly work. Now, the point of that is that all of these other things within the context of this conversation are being regarded as chazakah, and they involve any sort of benefit that the master is getting from the eved qua eved. So therefore, any benefit that you get from a floor qua floor, such as laying down a mattress, is considered chazakah, and therefore Rav Sheshet's halacha stands. Okay, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bira, Amar Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said the following halacha. Haim man deshada lifta vepili de'ara deger. Somebody goes into the property of a ger, and there is, and again, no heirs, and the ger died, and the land is cracked, it's parched and it's cracked, and he throws seeds, let's say turnip seeds, into the cracks. Lo avi chazaka. That's not a chazaka. My taima. What's the reason this is, doesn't work? Because after all, he's working the land. When you throw in the seeds, there's no benefit, because you're not benefiting the land at all. You're not improving the land. You're just throwing seeds in. And later on, when the things grow, they grow on their own, and not due to your own work here. And therefore, there is no point at which we could say that you are doing something to improve the property, and therefore claim a chazakah. Now we're going to see a series of statements by Shmuel, and the guiding principle here is that in order to make a kinyan on property or on a tree or whatever it may be, you have to do an act of improvement or work with that item for the purpose of that item itself. And for each point, he's going to give us a litmus test how we could tell objectively what your goal was. Let's say you trimmed a tree for the purpose of the tree, meaning to benefit the tree and allow it to grow out. That's a chazaka on the tree. So if I'm giving you my tree and I say, go make a chazaka, and you trim it, and you trim it for the purpose of letting the tree grow better, that's a good kinyan. Adata the chayuta, but if it's for animals, such as you want to get some twigs down and give them to animals, lo kani, it's no good. Hechidami, and hechidami normally means, how does this play out? What it means here is, how do we tell? Shako mi hagisa mi hagisa, if you trim from both sides, adata the dikla, so then it's for the tree. Kula mi chadgisa, if you trim from just one side, adata the chayuta, so obviously you have another interest here. You want wood for a fire, you want to take the animals, doesn't matter what, it's not for the benefit of the tree, it's no good. V'yamar Shmuel, ha'man de zaki zikaya, if somebody sweeps up an area from wood, adata the arakani, if you're doing it because you want the land to be clear of wood and you're being kona the land, then it's good. Adata the tzibi, if you're doing it for the wood, lokani. Again, hechidami, how do you tell? Easy. Shako ravi vizutri, if the guy picks up both the big and small piece of wood, adata the ari, trying to clean the land, it's for the land, he's kona. Shako ravi vishavak zutri, but if you only picked up the big ones and left the small ones, adata the tzibi, then you're doing it because you want the wood and you're not kona the land. V'yamar Shmuel, third example. Haiman da atkil tikla. If somebody evens out the land, smooths out the land. Adata da arakani. If you're doing it for the land, you're kone. Adata da bedari. If you're doing it to make a granary in the land, lokani. And by the way, that would have to mean lokani, the whole area, but you are kone the area that you made into a granary, evidently. Hechidami. Shaka muli avashata banatsa. If you took the mound and you put it into the holes, in other words, the area that was up, you swept down and filled the holes with it, adatadara, then you're trying to even out the land. You want to make one flat area to plant. That's already a kinyan on the karka. Mulya b'mulya v'natza b'natza, but if on the other hand you took the mounds and piled them on top of the mounds and made the low area altogether, then you're trying to build an enclosed area, adatadavidari. That seems to be for a granary. Here the Rishonim go in several different directions in explaining why that would work. V'amar Shmuel, haiman de patach maya ba'ara. Fourth example, if somebody lets water into his property, adatadara, if he's doing it for the land, kani. Adatadakavi, if you're doing it to catch fish, lo kani. So again, how do you tell? Echidami. Patach trei bavi, if you open up two areas, meaning two entrances, one on the way in, chadmai v'chadmapik, one where the water comes in and one where you let the water out, adatadakavi, you want a constant flow so you can get fish. Chad bava, but if you only open one area, then you're trying to irrigate your land, adatadara, and you're tkona. All right, now a story. Hahi itata, and this goes back to Shmuel's first example. Ta achla dikla betafshicha tlesa shani. There was a woman who was benefiting from a tree, and she was trimming it for 13 years. But it was a tree that was half good. She never made a kinyan on it, but she was regularly going to this tree and trimming it, and she was benefiting from it. Ata hu rafik tute porta. Some fellow came up and tilled a little bit under the tree for the benefit of the tree. Ata the kame de Levi, and now this fellow claimed the tree, and he came to Levi, v'amrila kame de Marukva, or Marukva, ukma miyade, and whoever it was said it belongs to that guy. Atoi katsav chal kame, so the woman came and complained to the rabbi. Amar mai avilach, he said, what do you want me to do? Telo ichzikat kin machziki inchi, you didn't make a chazaka like everyone else does. Meaning you have to make a proper chazaka, and trimming a tree to get stuff for yourself is not a chazaka, as Shmuel ruled. Okay, Amarav. Hatzar tsura minichse ager. This is the last of the halachot of nichse ager. Rav says that if you draw some sort of a design or paint something, let's say on the walls of the property of a ger, cannot. That's a kinyan. And we know this because de Rav lo kani leginta de veirav elabit surata. Evidently, all the students knew that there was a garden in Rav's property that he had gotten from a ger. Agero died, no heirs, and Rav had taken possession, but he did not take possession until he wrote something on the walls, maybe his name, or maybe a mark or something, that indicated ownership. And that's how he said how you take ownership. Okay, now we have a new area, which takes us back to something we saw in the previous podcast about the boundaries. Itmar. Sadem suyemet b'metzareha, if you have a field that's clearly bounded, Amar Rav Huna Marav. Now remember that Rav Huna is involved in this. Kevan shekishpa makosh achad, the minute that you tilled one little bit, kanakula. Since it's a bounded area, Rav says, you till one bit, you get the whole thing. Shmuel amar lo kara ala makom makosho bilvad. Shmuel disagrees and says you only get the specific spot that you tilled, which means you have to till all of it to get it. Now, clearly we're ruling out Rav, because the next question is, v'she'ena mesuyamet b'metzareha, what if it's not bounded? How much do you get? Well, that question only works according to Rav. Ad kama, my papa could azel tayara deshvari v'hadar. The amount that the team of oxen go in plowing and come back, however far they go and come back, that's the distance. And as we consider that the length of the field, even though it's not marked, it's sort of the naturally created, organically created boundary. Okay, that's piece one. We're going to come back to piece one at the end of this in a story that we'll see. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, piece two. Nichse Oved Kochavim Harein Kemidbar. Shmuel says that the property of an Oved Kochavim, of a non-Jew, is like the desert, meaning Kol Amachzik Ben Zachaban, anybody who takes possession, it's theirs. Now, just to clarify, this does not mean anything about something that a non-Jew owns. What it means is when a Jew buys property from a non-Jew, and we'll see this in a second. During the interim between when the non-Jew was paid for his property and when the Jew completed the proper document of sale that shows title deed on the property, during that period, the property is hefker. And if somebody else comes in as machzik, and as the Rishonim point out, even if he's successful, he's certainly a Rasha, then the second fellow does get possession. Now, my time, what's the reason for this? The minute the non-Jew gets his money, he's gone from the property. He has no more interest. He got paid. But Yisrael lokani adamati shtar liyadei. But the Jew doesn't take possession until he gets the shtar. Now this is partially a function of a formal distribution of kinyonim, that non-Jews only have kinyon kesef, and a Jew has kinyon shtar. Part of it also has to do with intent, that the Jew doesn't intend to take possession until he has a proper shtar in his hand as proof so that nobody can come and later make the claim against him. Now, hilkach harein kemidbar, so then during the interim between when he paid the non-Jew and as far as the non-Jew is concerned, he's off the property, until the Jew gets his shtar that he owns the property, kol machzik b'ein zachah b'ein, in the meantime anybody else could take possession. Now, Amar Abaye l'Rav Yosef, this is the halacha quoted in the name of Shmuel. Abaye turned to Rav Yosef and said, mi amar Shmuel achi? Shmuel couldn't have said that because v'hamar Shmuel dina malchut adina. Shmuel famously said dina de malchut adina. The law of the land is the law. And the king says you don't get possession of property without a shtar, which means that the non-Jew is really not off the land until he gets the shtar. So amar li ana le'adana. Yosef said I don't know, which means I really can't defend the ruling. Uvda have bedura deruta, but there was a story that happened in this town called Dura deruta. And that's where we know this from. What was the story? Be Yisrael de Zaman Arami Obed Kochavim. There was a Jew bought land from a non-Jew in this town. Ve'ati Yisrael Achrina Rafik Bapurta. And in the meantime, another Jew came along, and he tilled a little bit of the land. Ata the commander of Yehuda. And so then they came to Rav Yehuda, who's Shmuel's student, of course. Ukman Biyad Adesheni. He said that the second guy owns the land. Now, a question that we've shown him about whether the second guy has to give the first guy back his purchase price, or the first guy can go to the Oved Kochavim and claim his purchase price back. Turn around about that, but that's not our concern here. Amar le Dura Dura Uta Kamart. So Rabbi said to Rav Yosef, you're telling me a story about that town? Hatam Bagi Mitamri Havu. That's an area where they all hide their land, meaning they don't report their land, and they don't pay taxes on their land. They don't pay their property tax. What is the king rule about that area? Whoever pays the tax gets the land. So in other words, what happened was, this non-Jew had this property that he wasn't reporting. He sold it to a Jew, and the Jew didn't report it. And the other Jew came in the middle, and seized the property, and paid the property tax. So then it was perfectly dina machuta dina to give the second Jew the land. So this doesn't really prove that Shmuel would have said that in a normal case, the second guy who comes in, the interloper, who comes in and makes a chazaka that he would really keep the land, unclear. Rav Huna zavan arami over kachavim. Rav Huna bought land from a non-Jew. Here's a story. Ata Yisrael acher rafik bapurta. Another Jew came in the meantime and tilled some of it. Ata the coming of Nachman. They came to Rav Nachman. Ukum yadei. Rav Nachman gave it to the other guy. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, are you basing this on Shmuel's ruling that about the property of a non-Jew? So if that's the case, then at least be consistent and follow the other ruling of Shmuel. Remember what Rav Huna had reported in the name of Rav, that when you take possession of Nichse Hager, and you till one little area, you get the whole thing. But Shmuel said you only get the area you tilled. So Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, if you're going to rule like Shmuel, vis-a-vis the property of a non-Jew, at least be consistent, rule like him, vis-a-vis how much you get. This guy only tilled one little corner, let him keep that corner. Rav Nachman said, in this, we hold like what we all hold like, which is really what you said, Rav Huna. And the way to understand this probably means that I may hold like Shmuel in that case, but I can't grant you the land based on that. Because after all, your own position is the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Kivan Shinikesh Pamakosh Achad Kana Kula. You said, quoting your Rebbe Rav, that if you till one little bit, you get the whole land. And so this fellow tilled one little bit, he gets the whole land based on Shmuel's ruling about the non-Jew's land in the interim, and then based on your ruling, quoting Rav, about what happens when you till only one part. Okay, Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin. Now the Rashbam here says Kishmuel, just says that one word Kishmuel. However, it's not exactly like Shmuel, because Shmuel's ruling was that if the second guy comes in and makes a chazaka, it's his. Here the language is a little bit softer. Ein motzino tamiyodo means you can't take it away from the second guy. But it's really not so clear that it's his. It could be the first guy, could be the second guy, but the second guy's on the line, we can't take it away. And this is what Rav Huna Bar Avin sent the message. This is the halacha, and all of our colleagues agree that this is the halacha. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we're going to duck back to a famous ruling of Shmuel in the next podcast that we mentioned earlier, and go from there on to several issues about taxes and payment for taxes, property taxes, head taxes, etc. But in the meantime, we'll pause here, and everyone should have a wonderful day.